Would you open, please, to Mark 11? Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, we're going to look at a verse that I guess a lot of people know. And it's verse 23. It says, now this is Jesus, okay? If you have a red letter Bible, this should be in red. And Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm not going to get into any more of this right here. I just wanted to focus on that verse. Now, there are a lot of people who are really, you know, big on faith and confession in a wrong way. And they've taught a lot of wrong things about it. And because of that, there are a lot of people, Christians, who say, I don't want anything to do with that. You know, just you keep that to yourself. Well, I'll be happy to keep it to myself in that respect, but I mean, Jesus did say this. So you can not like the whole concept of confession, but you're still not going to change what he said here. Then there are some people who just flat out, they don't believe it at all. Well, you know, this, I know what it says here, but, you know, I'm sorry, it's just not the way it is. So if we were in a room of 100 Christians, and we took the time to go around that room and give every person an opportunity to, say, take, I don't know, just 2-3 minutes, whatever, and tell us exactly what is the truth about faith and confession. Who knows how many different types of answers we'd receive? Then if you start asking people about their experiences and so forth, you're just going to get all kinds of thoughts and opinions. Okay. Well, didn't Jesus say something along the lines of, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now we also read in the Bible that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. All of it. So then what we see right here in verse 23, that's been given to us by Jesus through the inspiration of God. Well, how about if we do this? Let's take a look at what God thinks about confession. Let's take our own thoughts and the things that we have been taught in the past, our opinions, what we've heard from the negative people and the positive people concerning this message. Let's take all of this and just lay it aside for a minute, for the next several minutes. Let's find out what God has to say. Is that fair enough? Because, quite frankly, there are a lot of Christians, they just don't seem to think that what they say matters. And they don't seem to think that it's a very serious thing. Well, if you go back and you read the whole situation of Lazarus, remember he dies, and finally Jesus, to get the disciples to listen to him, he said, you know, Lazarus is dead. Well, Jesus went and raised him from the dead. And if you go through and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you see is Jesus speaking what needed to be spoken. But even at that, there are a lot of people who are going to say, okay, well, you know, that was Jesus. And they're still not going to accept the concept of what you say matters. What your confession makes a difference. And even here, over the years, I've encountered Christians who will hear messages about confession. And they might amen or whatever. But then when the message is over, eventually I hear them saying things that completely counters what they said they agreed with during the sermon. Now I'm going to make a statement. Then we're going to start looking at scriptures. But There are some of you, I'm going to say it like this. It's possible that some of you hearing this message right now, here in this room, watching it, listening to it, whatever, you are devastating your life by what you say. And you have messed your life up so bad because of what you say, and you're expecting God to move and change things, when the truth is God is not going to move any other way other than according to His Word. So you literally, in a sense, figuratively speaking in a way, I mean, you're handcuffing God. Because on the one hand, you keep declaring and speaking the things you don't want to happen. Then you don't know why God isn't moving. Well, He would. He'd like to. But do you realize you are the one who's in control of your life, not God? He can only control your life to the extent that you yield over to Him. He didn't make you get saved. He waited for you to call upon the name of the Lord. And He hasn't made you do anything since then. He waits for you to make that decision. Now, I want you to look, well, we've already seen, you know, Mark 11:23. Look over in Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Because in the process of this tonight, what we want to see is not simply God's perspective of confession, but we also want to see the value that God places on words. So in Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Well, we know back over in Genesis what happened. God spoke and it happened. God said, "Let there be," and there was. Over and over again, this principle is established. And some people would say, well, yeah, but you know, that's God. I mean, that's Him. Yeah, you're right. That is Him. However, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." That doesn't simply mean, you know, to kind of look like us. It means to resemble and to operate the way I, God, operate. So therefore, when God created man, He created man to function in creation as God functions. Now, we'll never be God, we know that. Never going to be deity. But He created man to function as He functions, which means God set the precedent in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through verse 25. Then when He makes that declaration in 26 and 27 about let us make man, you know, like us, like me, like God, the precedent for how He operates had already been established as far as speaking is concerned. Now where He says here, "By the words of the Lord," by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made. Just by the word of the Lord, creation came into existence. That should tell us right there, God places a tremendous value on words. Well, look over in Psalm 89. Psalm 89, in verse 34, God says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. I will not alter what I have spoken. I will not change what I have said." Therefore, what He says stands. Too many Christians don't see it that way. Too many Christians live by the concept of situational ethics, whereby I say what I want to say to get by the way I want to get by, and at times I'll talk the way I want to talk so I don't get held accountable for the things I should be held accountable. God says, hey, that's not the way you're supposed to be. I created you in my image and in my likeness. Therefore, this principle of the I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. When you speak it, it's supposed to stand. You know, in another place in Scripture, He says it's better not to vow than to vow and break it. So therefore, what we see is The pattern for this is consistent with God. But look in another place, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I want to make sure you see this. Now, before we keep going, you know, if you're not using the King James, I really don't know what you're going to see. So, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of whatever you read. But verse one, chapter 139, verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Don't you think that's kind of a hint? God knows every word. He is aware of every word. There is value to what we speak. And He is aware of this. Now I want you to go back to Psalm chapter 12. By the time we're finished here tonight, you will have heard probably more scripture than I have ever used in any sermon. And somebody might say, Brother Martin, you do realize I have to work tomorrow. Don't worry. Don't worry. Remember at the beginning here, I shared, let's find out what God has to say. Let's find out, you know, God's perspective of confession and the value that He places on words. The only way that we can do that is to look in Scripture. Okay? Now, Psalm chapter 12, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. What does that tell you? It tells you that if your tongue is declaring something contrary to His word, He stands in opposition to it. I hope you see this. Psalm 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. My mouth. How can my mouth transgress? By virtue of what I say. I have determined that what I say will not disagree with what you have established in your word. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You know, you could wake up every morning and you could say something like this, Father, I want you to convict me if the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are not acceptable in your sight. Help me to be aware of this. Hey, you pray that, guess what? He will work on you. Anyway, continuing, Psalm 21, verses 1 and 2. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. You know, this thing about a lot of people, they live by the concept of silent prayer. Yeah. Okay, well, I understand sometimes maybe the situation's not so much. You can just, you know, come out with it. But you'll notice there's an importance placed here on what we speak. Not simply what we think, but what we speak during a time of prayer. And over in 1 John, it talks about how that when we pray according to His will, He answers. In Psalm 34, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Well, what would be evil? Well, somebody would say, evil, you know, cussing and taking the name of the Lord in vain. Well, yeah, okay, that's pretty obvious. But everything that we speak, contrary to the word of God, He wouldn't consider it evil because His words are pure and holy. So if we're speaking opposite of what He has declared in His word, we are speaking something that is not pure and holy in His sight. Therefore, He sees it as evil. See, God takes this so much more seriously than what we do. This is absolutely critical. And by the way, in this message tonight, We are only going to be looking at verses from Psalms, Proverbs, and one other book, one verse from one other book, Ecclesiastes. That's it. We're not even going into any other books, Old or New Testament, just these three. Well, if you look over in Psalm 35, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So what does this mean? This means that as I am speaking, I'm not quoting verses, but it means my speech should be a reflection of the essence of the character of God. In Psalm 45, verse 1, my heart is inditing a good manner. I will speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue, what does that mean? My tongue speaks those things which could be written for the glory of God. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Psalm 49, verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Psalm 71, verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. My tongue also, verse 24, shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Now look at this. In verse 15, he says, my tongue is going to show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. I will declare what I am, who I am, what I have, my standing as a Christian, who you are to me, who I am in you. My tongue shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. In other words, I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. And the one thing I don't want to do is die speaking in opposition to your word. He says, my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. They are confounded, they're brought into shame that seek my hurt. Your confession has an impact on the power of God becoming as a type of defense for you. If you look over in 119, Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. If his word, now there's symbolism in this, if his words are sweet unto our taste, honey to our mouth, it means that's what's going to be in our mouth, and if it's in our mouth, it's what's going to come out of our mouth. Let's face it. You don't want to put anything in your mouth that you don't like. You want to put things in your mouth that you do like. And he's saying, your words, man, I tell you, God, it's like dessert. And I like dessert. And so my tongue will speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalm 141. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God, help me be aware and conscious of what I'm speaking. Now, guys, once again, remember, this is God's perspective of confession and words. And if we don't take it seriously, okay, we're at this point right here. We've already made it up to Psalm 141. Do any of you at this point sense something is wrong in your confession? Meaning, well, you know, you're right. See, I ain't talking right now, Brother Martin. So, yeah, I know. Okay, nothing's wrong at the moment. I'm talking about your day-to-day life. You know, we can all speak Christianese when we're in church. Well, in fact, some people don't even do that. The confession, you know, they talk about being sick, then they don't know why they're sick. Well, this is killing me. All right, well, get a shovel because... I mean, is that what you... Do you want to die? Listen to me. Do you want to die? Do you? Then for crying out loud, why on God's green earth would you say something like, this is killing me? Why? Is it possible that every time you say that, you are shortening your life on earth by a few days? Is it possible? I'm not saying, yes, amen, it is. What I'm saying is, already we see that God has placed value on our words and what we say. He's telling us, he's giving you a hint. Here's something, it's like God is saying, hey, children, here's something you could pray. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Help me out with this. Help me out with it. Look in Psalm 145. We'll start in verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Well, you can't do that when your lips are locked shut. This has to do with being open your mouth and saying these things. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. How can you bless the Lord? By guarding your mouth and what comes out. How many times, well, we'll see something here in a little bit, but how many curses have parents spoken over their children and not even realized they were doing it? See, it's one thing to acknowledge what your children are doing, but there are parents, and I've heard this, man, Christians, they just go on and on and on, all he does, all she does, all they do, and just keep confessing. You don't want them to be like that. You don't. See, what's happened is we have become so accustomed to just speaking defeat, loss, and curses, not cursing, but speaking the bad things over ourselves, our lives, our families, and whatever. It has become such a habit that we don't even realize what we're doing. He says here, in verse 2, every day will I bless thee, I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Now look here, in verse 4, it says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty act. This is a part of training up children in the way they should go. See, God's telling us is that when you live your life as a parent and all you do is bellyache and fuss and complain about everything that goes on, you are speaking a curse over the next generation that's rising up in your own home. Because you're training them not to trust God. You're training them that God is not faithful. You're training them that God won't come through. And it's such a contradiction. Because at one moment, they hear you saying all this lousy stuff. Well, then when you get around, you know, and take them to church, they hear you saying the good things. You are double-minded and unstable. And you're speaking blessing and cursing into the lives of your children and anybody else that's around. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible or incredible and amazing acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is what is supposed to be coming out of our mouths. This is what we're supposed to be speaking. What we just read here, God is good, God is love, God is faithful. That's what we've just read in here, a description of that. But when you turn right around and contradict it with your words, what's God have to work with? And he says, look, God is all these things. When stuff happens, and let's just face it, guys, stuff's going to happen in our lives. Stuff that we don't like. Everything may be going great today, but who knows what kind of battle you might face tomorrow. That's not a negative confession. That's life here on earth. You can see that pattern in the life of Jesus. One day things are great, next day people trying to kill him. Well, they might not be trying to kill you, but still, you can face challenges. When you do, what do you say? Do you fuss, complain, and belly? Hey, look, I'm not setting myself up as the example of perfection in this, because I, too, sometimes say what I shouldn't. But look here. The challenges arise. So, verse 8, the Lord is gracious, he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and that includes me. The Lord is good to me, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Well, I am a work of his loving hand. I'm born again by his precious spirit, so his tender mercies are over me. The emotions want to speak contrary to the word of God, but when we allow our spirit to speak, we're going to be talking like this. It changes our lives. It changes what happens. And look over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll pick this up in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. What is a froward mouth and perverse lips? The opposite of verses 20 through 23. And he says, look, keep your heart with all diligence. Pay attention. Get the word in you. Speak only the word, because out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus said over there in the New Testament. Out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Are you fighting a physical anything? If you are you speaking the issues of life to your physical condition, whatever it would be? Are you doing that? Or are you just complaining about it? Well, it still hurts. Or maybe it does. Confession of the Word of God is not denial of living circumstances here on this planet. Confession of the Word of God is an exaltation of truth against that which is temporary. You say, well, yeah, but you know, the doctor said I've got this terminal disease. Yeah, well, it's temporary. I mean, one or two things, you're going to receive a miracle healing or you're going to die. It's temporary. It ends sooner or later. Now, that sounds kind of crazy, but it's true. You don't carry this sickness over with you into eternity. You do realize that, right? I mean, lost or saved, you don't carry it with you into eternity. It's temporary. So, why not address it with the Word of God? The issues of life. Look in Proverbs 10. In verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. My mouth is supposed to be a well of life. A well of life. I'm supposed to be speaking forth the rivers of living water, if you will. A well of life. Look at verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now look at this. Verse 22 fits into this progression of verses. And in verse 20 and 21, he's talking about those who are righteous, well, which would be us, and what they speak. Then in verse 22, he talks about the blessing of the Lord. Well, what is the blessing of the Lord? When we take the Word of God and we begin to speak God's Word, we are declaring his blessing over our lives. Whatever it is that we need. Whatever it is that we're facing. And again, this isn't a matter of constantly quoting Scripture. You know, something hurts, you talk to it. You say, well, that just sounds crazy. Well, you can live that way all you want, but see, there you go. You're calling crazy a principle in the Word of God. Jesus talked to things all the time, did he not? Hey, fig tree, dry up and die. Hey, storm, peace be still. Hey, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, on and on and on it went. He spoke to stuff. He spoke to things. I remember one time I did that. I got a phone call. There was a lady in our church. Her mom was really sick. She was in the hospital, had some rare form of meningitis. And I got to the hospital. When I walked into the hospital room, she was in a coma, and they had like four or five different doctors run tests to give a diagnosis. This is what the family demanded. And every doctor came back with the same thing. It's this kind of the doctors did it independent of each other. And they came back and they said, no, it's this kind of meningitis. And whenever a patient goes into a coma with this kind of meningitis, they die. There's nothing we can do. Make the arrangements. She's only got a few days. Well, that was the situation I walked into. And when I got there, the daughter who called me, who was attending the church that I pastored at that time, and her brother was there. Now, I'd never met her brother before, so, you know, hey, how you doing, chit-chat, and all this other. So then I began praying for her, and I started speaking to the meningitis. Meningitis in the name of Jesus, you know, leave her body, and so on and so forth, and I'm addressing it. So we didn't see anything happen at that moment, and I left. And when I left, the daughter later told me, when you left the room, my brother looked at me and said, he talked to meningitis. And the daughter, you know, I looked at him and I said, well, yeah. He goes, no, he talked to meningitis. She said, well, yeah, he did. And it, like the brother didn't seem to think that the sister understood. He says, no, he was talking to meningitis. And she tried to explain to him and he just couldn't connect. Well, the next morning, the mother suddenly woke up, called for the nurse and said, bring me a full breakfast, I'm hungry. And she was healed. The doctors would not let her go home for 3 days. They kept running tests to figure out how did you survive, because nobody survives this when they get into that type of when they get to a coma with that kind of meningitis. I spoke to it. Now let me tell you something. That's the pattern of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? When we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we're going to do things that the world and carnal and not understanding Christians just will not grasp and even argue about. But the principle is in the Word of God. The blessing of the Lord. I spoke a blessing over that woman's life. I cursed the sickness. Remember, when Jesus was ministering to Peter's mother-in-law, he rebuked the fever. He rebuked the fever. He talked to the fever. He talked to sickness. Well, when's the last time you talked to anything going on in your life? When's the last time you spoke, you know, your kids, and, you know, the runny nose, the coughing, and all this kind of stuff. When's the last time you spoke to the affliction, the virus, or whatever it is? I mean, talk to it. Have you ever done that? Well, some have, maybe not, maybe yes, I don't know. What, you know, I was going to sound wacky, but what if you have a dog or a cat that gets sick? Why not talk to it? You say, well, now, Brother Martin, that's just kind of weird. Now, why do you think it's weird? The Word of God brought the animals into existence. What makes you think the Word of God will not impact everything that lives? What makes you think that? Now, some of you, oh, I never thought about that before. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord. When's the last time you started speaking a blessing to your financial situation?
Well, Brother Martin, I would, but there ain't nothing to bless.
My point precisely. As something to focus in on. Have you ever taken, you know, like your checkbook and looked at it and begun speaking blessings, the blessing of the Lord? We're not after bazillions of dollars here. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about, how do you want to be debt-free or not? Well, sure I do. What are you waiting for? I want to be debt-free. Speak to it. The blessing of the Lord. For some people, if you suddenly had $1,000, you'd feel like you were a millionaire. Because, oh my goodness, $1,000, that's going to help so much. Sure it will. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. I see a lot of people, I don't know what they're thinking. It's almost like they're waiting for God up in heaven to like to speak a blessing. God's given us a book full of the blessings. Take the word of God and use the blessings He's already declared and speak them over your situation. Look in Proverbs 12. It will begin in verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be justified with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. God is placing tremendous emphasis on words and the ones that come out of our mouths. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. How many people, you know, just here in this room listening, how many people need to be satisfied with good? How many of you need an increase of good in your life, whatever good represents? God's telling you right here, look, this is going to be dealt with by the fruit of your mouth. Well, look at this. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. But what if the fruit of your mouth doesn't line up with the word of God? Are you not speaking opposite of this and hindering the promises of God from manifesting? We're just never going to get out of debt. What'd you just do? You spoke a curse. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. You just spoke a curse. Yeah, you may be running short on money. I mean, you look at the account. Okay, we've got $50 in the account and we've got $500 of bills. You don't know what you're going to do, do you? No, you don't. But what about God? Have you ever considered taking His word and speaking to it? Here's one for you. Do you remember, we're not going to turn to it, but do you remember the story where Jesus fed the thousands? And he tells the disciples, okay, look, you know, the disciples said, send everybody home. And Jesus said, well, we can't. I mean, they live too far away and they're not going to make it. They're hungry, man. You know, we can't just send them out there like that. You know, we got to get them some food. And they said, well, where are we going to get food? I mean, for this many people, there are, you know, thousands and thousands of people out there, Jesus. Where are we going to get food for that many? And Jesus looks at them and says, well, you feed them. He said, you feed them. And they said, with what? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Well, we got, you know, five little pieces of bread and two little chunks of fish. And Jesus says, all right, bring it to me. So they brought it to him, and what did he do? He blessed it. He spoke over the loaves and fish. Go back and read it. Then after he did, you realize he did not feed the thousands. Jesus fed the 5,000. No, not really. He blessed it, then he broke and gave to the apostles, the 12, and then they began feeding the people. They began distributing, and this stuff just kept multiplying in their hands. Can you imagine these guys? Okay, I fed about 500 people so far, and this stuff's not diminishing. I got to get the recipe for this. He blessed it, and then just sat back and watched. Have you ever taken your paycheck and blessed it? Have you ever called it blessed? See, I don't know exactly what Jesus said. I don't know the words. But you know, you could take your paycheck and look at it and say, all right, I don't know how this works, but paycheck, I call you multiplied. I call you blessed. like the loaves and the fishes. I call you blessed. Do you hear me, paycheck? Talk to it. But see, a lot of people tell you you're nuts. Well, let them. What do you want? Do you want to see the Word of God come to pass in your life? Or you want to just keep living the way things have been? Look, you're doing the same thing you've been doing for years. What has changed? Okay, do you know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. All right? So, how many more years are you going to do this? Change. Yeah, but it just sounds so... I know. You know why it sounds that way? It's because you haven't done it before. It's something we're not accustomed to. Well, let's continue. In Proverbs 13, verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. In other words, you put a guard over your mouth and what you say. And he says, you do that, then you know what? You will be guarding your life. He says, you're going to eat good by the fruit of your mouth. So here again, God is saying, you better watch what you say. I can't bless what you curse. And in chapter 14, verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise. So when you begin to speak in line with the Word of God, you are speaking preservation into the sum total of your life. And in verse 25 it says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A true witness delivereth souls. Listen to this. A true witness delivereth souls. What is a witness? One who testifies. A true witness. How do you deliver souls as a true witness? All right, think of your children. And some of you don't have any right now, but you'll understand this concept. You begin delivering the Word of God. You begin speaking the Word of God. You begin confessing the Word of God in your home. When you speak, you don't complain, you don't fuss. You don't poor mouth, bad mouth, we ain't got, we ain't going to have, it's not, never, ever. No, you speak in line with the Word of God. Speak in line with the Word of God. Do you realize what you're doing? You are speaking life over the people in your home. You are creating an atmosphere of God's Word in your home. It will impact the people around you. In Proverbs 16, verse 10, a divine sentence or a declaration that is divine in origin, you know, the Word of God, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Doesn't the Bible say that we've been made kings and priests unto God? In verse 13, righteous lips are a delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The more that you are confessing and speaking the Word of God, you are actually conditioning your soul, your spirit, to increase in comprehension of the Word of God. In verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. I'm the wise person. I'm speaking the Word of God. I'm training my mouth how to talk. In verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Health to the bones. Health to the bones. What's health? Pleasant words. What would you call a pleasant word? Something in the Word of God. Health to the bones. Health to the bones. Health to the bones. Think of it like this. If a doctor looks at you and says, well, you know what, we're sorry, but you know, your grandma or you or whoever, you know, got bone cancer. Well, that's pretty much telling you, pack it up. It's over. This says it's health to your bones, does it not? Now, let me say it like this. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health, healing, deliverance to the absolute worst kind of sickness and disease. Now somebody would say, well, man, I don't know about this. I don't know. All right, look, you know what? Think of it like this. The doctor gives you a bad diagnosis. So you start doing this. Truth is, you ought to be doing this all the time. Now, what I mean is, you don't not necessarily standing in front of a mirror and speaking the Word of God over your body for an hour every day. I'm talking about your lifestyle speech, how you talk throughout the day. Oh, boy, ep-pew. Well, I think I'm coming down. What? I think I'm coming down with, what a stupid thing to say. Do you want to come down? Well, no, I don't want to come down with it, you know. Well, then why'd you say that? Now, I'm not trying to cut people down, okay? What I'm trying to do is bring to light the habits we have relative to how we speak. And the power of God's Word. Okay, look. Jesus, what did He say to Lazarus? Lazarus dead and in the tomb, right? What did He say? Roll away the stone. Well, think of the support that He got. But Jesus, by now He stinketh. Nevertheless, at Thy word, we'll do what You say. So they roll away the stone. What did He say? Lazarus, come forth. That's all He said. That's it. Have you ever thought about how simple it can be? Healing manifest in my body. Healing. See, when you understand that you are a child of God and you have the rights and privileges to confess and speak the life of God by virtue of His Word, then you can begin to believe these things can come to pass. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 11. He said, if you speak and don't doubt in your heart, don't doubt in your heart. Well, I'll speak it. I hope it works. Why? You know what? If you have questions about it, then don't say them. Don't confess them. Don't voice your doubt. Voice only the Word of God. Because remember, we already read, the more you speak it, is the more you're training your heart and your soul to believe it. Now, in Psalm 18, verse 7, Psalm 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Do you realize this verse 7 right here summarizes the existence of so many Christians in the world? They're saved. They love Jesus. But from God's perspective, they're acting like fools because their mouth is bringing about destruction in so many areas. See, God doesn't want us struggling in life. A lot of these preachers, they tell you, you know, well, you know, God wants you having the absolute best and driving the best and living in the biggest, you know, hogwash. That's not God's goal for every believer. It's just not. But He sure doesn't want us living in squalor. He doesn't want us living with constant struggles in life. He wants us living in His promises. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you can speak life or you can speak death. You can speak blessings, you can speak curses. You can speak the things of God or you can speak opposite the things of God. But whatever you speak, God's telling you right here, you're going to get it. Remember what Jesus said, the sower sows the word? You reap what you sow. Now, I'm not saying that you're all going to drop dead because of your confession, okay? But what I am going to say is this, I am firmly convinced, based on what I see in Scripture, we can shorten our lifespan by what we say. We can also increase it by what we say. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to live to be 100. I do. I do. Well, you know, the Bible talks about being 120 years old. I just don't know if I want to live to be 120 years old. And you ever notice a lot of times when people talk about that, they start grabbing something in their body. I just don't know if I want to live. I do. I don't want to die. See, here's the thing, guys. To me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know where I'm going. So when I do drop over, or, you know, I wake up dead some morning, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with Jesus, okay? I'm going to be with Him. I don't want to go. I want to hang around here. I'll stick around to be 150.
Oh, but Brother Martin, the world's just falling apart. It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, well, you're not helping. Listen to what you're saying, man. Now, I know confession is not going to change the book of Revelation, all right? I know that. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to go. So, yeah, I'll live to be 120. I'll live to be 150. I'm fine with that. Because the longer I'm here on this earth, the more I'll be able to speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God. So I'm willing to serve Him. I'm willing to hang around. That's me. I mean, you know, you can be planning your check out all you want. That's up to you, man. That's totally up to you. But that is not me. Now, I mean, this man, Proverbs 18, a fool's mouth is his destruction. The lips are the snare of his soul. You know, your life's going to be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. There'll be increase, and death and life are in the power of tongue. These three verses, Proverbs 18:7, 18:20, and 18:21, those right there should be enough to convince you. This is God speaking to us. In Proverbs 20, verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. What I speak is of more value than the stuff here on the earth. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Right there it tells you. You can change the circumstances of your life by what you say. You can begin to turn things around by virtue of what you speak. Proverbs 22 verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have known to thee this day, even to thee. Now, you notice at the end of verse 18, at the end of the word lips, there's a period. That shouldn't be a period. That should be a comma. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, you know, the words of the wise, within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. The more you begin to speak the Word of God, it impacts your soul, impacts your spirit to the point you begin trusting Him more. Because His words are spirit and they are life, and the life of His words begin impacting us on the inside, and so our trust in Him increases. Proverbs 23, verse 16. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Think of it like this. You impact your emotional condition by virtue of what you say. Now, guys, there are a lot of people out there taking all kinds of drugs for their mental health, Christians. And I say, I am firmly convinced, if you can get these Christians to start speaking the Word of God, a lot of them can get off those drugs. Turn it around. I've heard Christians talk about, well, I've got... What's one of them? Bipolar. Oh, I got to take drugs for my bipolar. Do you want bipolar? Oh, no, but the doctor said, yeah, okay, you know, thank God for the doctors and what they do. I appreciate the doctors. But why let the doctors have the final say? Why? Look, if you're so messed up right now and going through so much junk that you need to take the medication, okay, fine. Take it to create some stability in your life. But gee whiz, take the Word of God to begin to change all of that in your life. And you can, I mean, you can get off the, well, I've got a chemical imbalance. And the power of God's Word cannot unbalance the unbalance? Rebalance the unbalance. Okay, you know what I mean, all right? You tell me the power of God's Word can't do that? Sure it can. One more verse, Ecclesiastes. It's the book right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Are we not kings and priests unto God? We're the word of a, not the of a. We're all kings and priests unto God. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Power. Now, I've read all these verses, a bunch of them, a bunch more we could have read. But like I said, we stayed with Psalms, Proverbs, and one verse out of Ecclesiastes. You know what the hardest part in this is? It's getting people to believe it. It's getting people to accept this truth. Now, after what we've read here tonight in the Word of God, quite frankly, I don't know what else it will take to get Christians to accept the fact that what they say makes a difference in their life. I don't know what it's going to take to get Christians to begin to see that the power of God's life, or power of God's Word, is the power of life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Is there something in your life that does not line up with what we see described in the Word of God as far as the way things are supposed to be for a Christian? If so, start talking the Word. Start talking the Word. You know, you wake up in the morning and something hurts that didn't hurt last night. Talk to it. Just tell it. I mean, talk to it. Foot? No. No, you're not going to hurt today. Listen to me, foot. I own you, but I've been bought with a price. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, foot. I know you can hear me. Listen to me. You are not allowed to hurt. You're going to serve the Lord God Almighty. Pain, affliction, I don't care what you are, leave now, go, and don't come back. I see a lot of people think that's weird, that's crazy. Go ahead, think it's weird, think it's crazy. It's what I do. Well, no, let me change that. It's what I have increased in doing. Because again, I do not want to present myself as being 100% perfect in all of this. But I'll tell you what, the more that I've done it, is the more sensitive I have become to what I say. I don't want to speak outside of the Word of God. And let me just give you a heads up, okay? If you will accept everything that I've shared with you tonight, and I've shared the Word with you. I mean, we've read so much. This is God's Word, not Jim's. If you do this, and you do it. Make this decision and do it. Things are going to start changing in your life. I'm going to warn you. You're going to start getting more and more sensitive to the words of people around you. And there are going to be times, I'm telling you right now, you're going to get to the place, you're going to be around believers, and they're just going to start going to all the negative, okay? And it's going to be like fingernails on a chalkboard to you because you know they should be doing something differently. They're a child of God. Lost people, what do you expect? You know, they don't have the life of God on the inside of them. That's when, you know, there are other passages in here about the wise person knows when to speak and when to shut up. Okay. Well, you'll know. It's like, okay, there's a time and place for correction. This is not the time. But you know what? I want my life to be impacted by the power of God's Word. Now, if you don't for your own life, I mean, that's up to you. But after what I've shared here tonight, God places a tremendous amount of importance and value on words and our confession. And he's trying to get that across to us. So I want to encourage you that are here tonight, those of you listening to this by recording, those of you that are watching this, take this to heart. Take it to heart and know what you say really does matter.